Earners, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question. Where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors, and it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, that's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait, don't hesitate. I use it. You should go over there and start using it now.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What would be a good percentage to use, you know, so that way I can just keep the same number going in there all the time?
Yeah. I don't really like percentages too much. I like actual numbers, because I could say 10%, 15%, but it really just depends on your situation. So I always try to look at like discretionary income. So like how much money is left over at the end of the month. So that's the first we got to see like how much money is left over at the end of the month. Right. So it's like one or two things is happening. Either, and this is just like broad range statement, either you have money left over at the end of the month or you don't, or you're running in a deficit. So if you have money left over, you got to see how much money you have left over. So if it's like, okay, I have $1,000 left over after all my bills are paid, after, you know, I have some fun every single month, I have at least $1,000 left over, right? So just using that number, I personally would probably do somewhere along the lines of like putting 30% of that money into like savings until you have, you know, 6 to 12 months of savings, because that's important. And then I probably would look to invest 30%. So now that's like 60% of the money right there. And then maybe, you know, 20% would go to, you know, a kid's account. 20 to 15% will go to the kid's account. And then the rest is just kind of left for like miscellaneous. So that's what I would kind of go by, more so than like, you know, just a percent of like your total income, because I could say 10% of your income, but if that might be too much. So it's really more of a percentage of your discretionary income. And the discretionary income, I would say probably like 20%, 20 to 15% of the discretionary income that you can afford to, you know, put away.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that, man. That helped me out a lot.
Nah, no problem, brother. All
right, y'all have a good one.
All right, Taryn, we're coming to you. Unmute yourself, please.
All right, hello. I'm good. And you, Rashad?
I'm good.
Hi, Magna. I have a question. What are the disadvantages of an S-Corp? I kind of think I know a little bit about the advantages in comparison to an LLC, but what are the disadvantages of an S-Corp?
It's more structured. I think Ms. Business had actually taught a class about this, but you have to pay yourself a salary. So especially like if you're not making, you know, that much money, or if the business is just starting out, it could be kind of pressure on you to, you know, have payroll. So that's something that, you know, definitely could take into consideration. Like, I forgot the number that she said, but I think it's like $100,000, something like that. Like, you should be making like $100,000 in your business before you go to S Corp route. Because yeah, it's definitely a lot more structured, but the off the top of my head, I would think that would be something that, you know, you just definitely have to consider, because you definitely have to put yourself on payroll. And You know, whereas like a regular LLC, you could just, you know, not pay yourself a month, 2 months, whatever, if not, no money's coming in, or you just want to just, you know, you're real thin that month. So that's something to take into consideration, especially a lot of businesses, especially when they first start, cash flow is very up and down. So, you know, if your cash flow is up and down, you want to make sure you're getting to a point where you have some level of consistent cash flow first.
Okay. Thanks very much. That answered the question. Thanks.
All right. No problem. All right. Yod, we're coming to you. Unmute yourself, please.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks for coming. My question is, I have two questions. My first question is, let's say, like, example, like, I have a mortgage that I was trying to pay early, between, like, probably, like, between 7 to 10 years. And also, let's say if I have some money that's coming in, let's say, like, if I have, like, probably between, like, 2 to 5,000, so, like, should I put it in the market? Even I do have automatic payment that's been that contribution that I make every month for my investment on the stock market and crypto and stuff like that. So should I keep, the best thing for me to do, should I like put that money in the stock market, or should I put it toward my mortgage? Even like in the future, I want to like to invest more in real estate. So what would be what would you suggest?
I mean, I think you could do both. I don't think it has to be a one or the other situation. You know, you want to see what's most important. Is paying off your house more important, or do you think you can get a better return in the stock market? And especially if you got a low interest rate, it might be more advantageous to put the money into the market, because, you know, your opportunity cost is probably greater investing in the stock market. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you can't do both. So, you know, you could maybe if you was going to put $2,000 a month into paying off into your mortgage to pay it off, you know, a lot quicker, maybe you put $500 a month, right? And, you know, that's still going to add up over the course of the year, and you know, could still knock off years of paying off your mortgage. So I would say, you know, see what's most important to you, but you can definitely do both, especially with that amount of money. It's not like it's, you know, a couple of thousand. You can definitely, you know, allocate money to both of them. But the opportunity cost would probably be better investing in the stock market. But I also understand, you know, if you don't want to have the mortgage forever and you want to pay off the property sooner. So, you know, maybe you just do some calculations and see how that would work out if you did it for just a little bit less money than you would have done originally.
My other question is, what the difference between like QQQ and QQQM?
So you broke up a little bit. What did you say?
What's the difference between like QQQ and QQQM?
I think QQQM, Troy, I know the Q, the T. But yeah, let me make sure I get the right information on that.
I think it's a mini QQQ, but I would like to know if there's a difference, like from the percentage of return or the amount of stocks that they invest in. Because that one is around like 3-something, and then the QQM is around like 1-something.
144. Yeah, let me look. I have Troy doing research on it. Get back to you on that.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. And also, for IRA. Rough IRA for kids. So, like, do they have to be a certain age for to start a rough IRA for kids?
Yeah, they have to be. Well, yes and no. They have to. If you're doing it, if you're not self-employed, then they have to be of working age. Like, they have to have a job. The working age depends on what state you live in, but as long as they have working papers and they have a job, and they actually have to be working, that's another thing. So, as soon as they're able to work, you can do it. But if you're self-employed, it's a little different, because you can actually hire your child before they legally have like working papers, as long as they're actually working and they can actually do a job. So obviously, like, you can't hire a 2-year-old, like, but like if you have like somebody that's like 10 or 11 years old and they're actually doing, you just have to be able to justify it in case you ever get audited. But you have more flexibility and you can hire younger if you're self-employed. But if the child is working just a regular job, whenever, if they could work a job, then they could put money into the IRA.
So basically, you cannot do it in a custodial account.
For the IRA?
Yeah, the Roth IRA.
Yeah, no, it's a custodial account. It's a Roth IRA.
Oh, okay.
So you still like the child is still a minor. The child's still a minor. So it's not like, you know, you got to set it up for them and you put the money in. But, you know, you can have a custodial account where it's just in the market and there's no retirement account attached to it, or it's the retirement account, but it's still a custodial account.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at